Up to 70% off. Performance Bicycles, everything's on sale event. Runs through Memorial Day. Don't miss it. Go to performancebike.com for locations.
9:03 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. I'm Nkoyo Iyamba, KSL's top local story this hour. Somewhere between Oregon and Utah, that's where Chuck Cox believes he will finally find his daughter, West Valley mom Susan Cox Powell. West Valley police closed her case Monday. Cox says he has a new idea about where to look for his daughter, and he plans to begin the search Monday.
The people who live out there, they know the areas. What roads were plowed at that time and all that. So what would be accessible? Where might someone look?
Cox believes his daughter's body was dumped somewhere along the roadway and needs the public's help in the search next week. Aging satellites could affect accuracy in predicting major storms. The 2013 Government Accountability Office reports potential gaps in weather satellite data.
Without an accurate prediction of the initial state, it can't predict what the future state is going to be.
And that was University of Utah Agricultural Science Professor Jay Mace. He says the plans to replace those aging satellite systems could leave us without weather data for as long as 5 years. And parents of a shooting victim dedicate a memorial and push for safer schools. The parents of 6-year-old Emily Parker came back to Ogden this week, where friends and families, relatives built a memorial in a small garden with a bench and a plaque along the Ogden River Parkway. Emily Parker died in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings. Coming up on KSL News Radio, we'll check your KSL weather forecast next. KSL News Time, 9:04.
Utah's afternoon news with Scott and Maria.
She's a lifesaver. Megan just saved a guy's life.
3 till 7 on KSL News Radio.
Hypopharyngeal.
Kaposi sarcoma.
Adrenocortical carcinoma.
Cancer names can be complex. Beating it can be too. Malignant fibrous histiocytoma? There's nothing simple about cancer. Even its names can be hard to pronounce.
Osteosarcoma.
Retinoblastoma. Each has different symptoms and requires different treatments. And depending on your type, there are a variety of techniques used to fight it. Gastrointestinal carcinoid tumor. That's why if you're diagnosed with cancer, the simplest decision should be who to involve in your fight. Intermountain Healthcare. Here, we wield technology proven successful against cancer with a team of skilled doctors who know exactly how to use it, no matter if you can pronounce your cancer type or not.
Thymoma and thymic carcinoma.
Intermountain Cancer Centers. Healing for life.
To talk. Are you kidding me? Are you delusional?
And comes to be heard.
Yeah, I appreciate being able to talk a little bit about this.
KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller dealerships. Looks like the freeways and main surface streets looking pretty good. If you see any of the traffic incidents that we've missed, please call us 801-575-6397. And expect it to be breezy over the next few days into Memorial Day with highs at 85 degrees. We're looking at partly cloudy skies through the week. Monday, temperatures drop to 81 degrees, 77 Tuesday, low 70s later in the week. Use Oakdale Egg Farm's organic compost, the official compost of Thanksgiving Point, to improve your soil. Available at IFA Country Stores, J&J, and J&L Countries, or Garden Centers, that is. For a complete list, visit oakdale.com. It's 71 degrees right now at 9:06. You get the top stories every 30 minutes, breaking news the second it happens. I'm Nkoyo Iyamba, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Call the KSL Greenhouse with your questions. We're at KSL Talk. That's 575-8255. And it's only on KSL News Radio.
All right, as we get hour number two started, let me just start by telling you, you've got four local lines waiting now. Sue's the only one holding in Centerville. Gloria's in Highland on one of our Utah County lines, and Lynn is in Layton in Ogden, and Ray's coming up in just a second with his questions. He has some bug questions, so we'll put the bug hats on here in a minute. But J.D. Gunnell, Jerry Goodspeed with us in studio this week. Ton will be with me on Monday. We started the show, guys, talking about your wildflower book, and you've got a, don't you have a signing or several of them coming up?
We do. We're going to be at Cactus and Tropicals, their Sugar House location, on June 15th at 12 o'clock. To sign probably
copies of the book.
Two books.
No, come on. You're telling me people are going to line up for that thing.
Well, I'll talk to my mom. There may be three.
the real important authors go to Barnes & Noble or somewhere. You go to Cactus and Grass. I'm sorry, what's the name of it?
Cactus and Tropicals.
Cactus and Tropicals.
We had to beg them.
That's what happens when you write a wildflower book. You get invited to wildflower places. All right, so June 15th.
Yep.
And the book is called again?
Wildflowers of the Mountain West.
I want to talk for just a second. JD's actually sporting the logo from the Utah Botanical Center. The Botanical Center, right off the freeway there at Kaysville.
In Kaysville, yep.
I've always said I've got to stop in one of these days, and I'm always on my way somewhere, but I want to get up
there.
We'll
make sure there's a special invite sometime to get you up there. We'll walk you through it.
What we ought to do is just do the show from up there.
We'll talk.
Yeah, we should do that. There's always something going on up there, and I you probably heard us, I think it was a week ago, we made a mistake and talked about a baby animal fest that was a week old or something.
Yeah,
we missed it.
Yeah, that we do that every year, the weekend of Mother's Day, so Friday and Saturday of before Mother's Day. And it was great this year. It was beautiful, nice weather, really fun. A family event is what it is.
Yeah. Yep. And you're really trying to make it family-friendly, aren't you?
We are. Everything we do, we're trying to look at the family. We've got, the first Monday of every month, we've got a discovery of the garden, something like that, and where you can bring your family, and we have different activities going on, and you can sign up for them on our website. We have, quite often, we'll have workshops, any number of things going on. So, and not only that, but you're always free just to come up and wander around. There's an arboretum. JD put together about a 5-acre arboretum over the last 3 or 4 years that's built that beautiful arboretum. One of my favorite places on the property, actually. We've got the fishing ponds. We've got the Utah House.
Was the mission just an extension of the extension to have another way of educating?
That's exactly it. It's that's what we are, is an educational. And so that's what everything is. Before we do anything, we always look at it and say, okay, how is this going to help our educational process, or how is this going to be beneficial to the people of Utah? Yeah, and there's some neat things there. And we're growing, so you have to be patient. I mean, there's a lot of areas that aren't developed yet, but overall, there's some really neat things.
How much space is there in total?
It's just under 100 acres.
Oh, boy, yeah. So that's a work in progress.
Yeah.
It's kind of like eating an elephant, just one bite at a time.
And we're getting there. We're getting there.
I have to ask, you're talking about the area that JD has been working on there. You said 5 acres?
Yeah.
When you get done with that all day, do you want to go home and do work in your yard and garden, or no?
No, that's why I had kids.
Part of the educational thing, I see. You get the kids to go out and learn how to do all of these things.
And how's that working out for you, by the way?
Not very good.
I wondered about that, and I joke with Larry about it from time to time. If you're working at McDonald's, you don't want to go home and have hamburgers for dinner. It's kind of like when you're doing this all day for a living, do you want to go home and prune the trees and spray for bugs and all the other things that go on? I would imagine that's a challenge, isn't it?
Sometimes, yeah. Especially only in the spring when everything's happening.
Yeah. So what in the near future is going on at the Botanical Center?
Well, to be perfectly honest, our real busy time, we're just getting through with our member sales and everything else. What we've got coming up in the future, we'll still have the Monday night gatherings for the family, which you can go on the website and see. We've also got an open house, I think, not next Saturday, but the Saturday after that. We have a Brittany Hunter will be putting on an open house. And what that is where you can go and walk around the different gardens and have somebody there talking about them. We've got the orchard, the demonstration orchard that JD mentioned earlier, the arboretum, the ornamental grass garden, the Utah House garden, which is more of a xeric, really nice. How do you make a water-wise landscape look beautiful? And it is beautiful. So all of that will be going on. I think that's in 2 weeks.
All right.
But that'll be on our website.
Fantastic. Speaking of that, making things water-wise, we're going to be out, I think it's next Saturday. Isn't next Saturday the 1st? It is.
Yep.
We're going to be out broadcasting this program at the Weber Basin Water. So
that beautiful place.
Yeah.
David Rice up there does a lot to make sure that place looks good.
So there's a little heads up to our listeners that Todd and I will be out there a week from today. All right, let's go to Ray and find out. He's got some bugs that are eating his plants. Let's see if we can identify the critters. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. I plant my peas in the middle of March, and they came up and was doing quite well, and all of a sudden they stopped growing. And I went out there and looked, and I figured, well, it might be fertilizer, so I put some 16-16-8 on there, and it didn't seem to do anything, but it actually ended up being bugs. So I sprayed them with Liquid 7, and that kind of took care of them. But they've come back again, and I'm having the same problem with my cantaloupe and cucumbers.
So you've seen these bugs?
I haven't.
Okay. I had actually the exact same problem with my peas this year. Something was just notching them off, and they would stunt the growth. I opted to go for more of a safe approach. I've got kids in my in the neighborhood that are always over picking the radishes right now they're on, and so I went with a diatomaceous earth and just sprinkled that at the base of the plants. And it's basically, if you looked under a microscope, it looks like crushed glass. And a lot of these insects, it's a deterrent. And they won't come near the plants. They don't like walking over the glass. And so that actually solved my problem. There's a lot of different options, like you mentioned, your Liquid 7. But
I'm just curious, if you've never seen the bug, how did you know it was a bug?
Well, it was eaten.
Oh, so you were seeing some notches out of the leaves?
Okay. I mean, I went and replanted my cantaloupe, and I sprayed them with Liquid 7 when I planted them, and went out there the next day, and some of them had been eaten.
Yeah. One trick is you can go out with a flashlight at night. These insects are often nocturnal, and you can kind of take a look at what you're dealing with and then determine what to control them with afterwards.
Let me ask this. I've never purchased diatomaceous earth. Widely available? How much does it cost? Do you buy it by the bag?
I got it was probably a two-pound bag for $7. And it's at every nursery along the Wasatch Front.
Okay. That might be the ticket, Ray.
Okay, thanks for your information.
Thank you. And the other thing is, we always hopefully encourage people to take the kinder, gentler approach in the beginning stages instead of just going willy-nilly with things that'll kill stuff, because you end up taking out some of the, you know, really beneficial things in our environment. So, yeah, diatomaceous earth, good choice. Sue in Centerville, welcome into the KSL Greenhouse.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to find out, we have sandy loam and want to put in a tree. We just took out a nectarine because it kept having a struggle with Carinium blight and wasn't producing anything. And so we want to know, between an Asian pear and an almond and a pluot or plum, what would be the best for this kind of soil?
What do you like to eat?
All of the above.
Shoot.
Yeah, they'll all do good.
I'm
with JD. What do I prefer? Any of those, they do quite well in our area. So,
as far as care, which is going to have the least care, like as far as
spraying
and stuff? Yeah.
What were your choices? I like the pluot, my own opinion. I just find it very delicious. It's kind of different, too, as well.
Was that a cross between a plum and an apricot?
Yeah, somebody was explaining it's a certain percentage of a plum and an apricot, but yeah, it's kind of neat. Hmm. I like it. What were the other choices? A plum?
That would... And an almond and an Asian pear?
Well, the Asian pear you're going to have to spray for coddling moth. The almond you're not going to get every year. If we have a short season or a late frost or something, the almond will be questionable. I mean, you will get them, but not every year. So that kind of narrows it down for me between the plum and the pluot.
Okay.
The one thing to keep in mind is the plum and pluot, you could potentially still have the Carinium blight problem that you had on your apricot, because it's the same type of tree. It's a stone fruit. But generally, Carinium blight isn't that hard to control. It's a spray that you put down in the fall, a fungicide or a fixed copper. And then again, we're a little bit late. They typically say the second spray is at shuck split, when the blossoms have all hit the ground. But it's very manageable disease.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I have a peach tree that I have to spray for that every year, too. So this is when I should be doing it, when the blossoms are spent.
Yeah, if you look at the little fruit, you'll start to see the fruit push through the flower structure, and that's called shuck split.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you so much.
All right, Sue, thanks. And again, that clears another local line. We've got three waiting at KSL Talk, 801-575-8255. Jerry, you mentioned coddling moth. We're going to be joined by Marion Murray at the top of the next hour right after the news, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, it'll be good.
And no doubt be reminding people to sign up for the pest management.
Utah Pest. Yep.
UtahPest.usu.edu. What do you call it? Newsletter. That'll come out. The emails that come out. We'll have more on that anyway coming up at the next hour, so if you had questions, hang on. Lynn, you're next right after we take this break. Gloria and Karen, the other two calls holding. Lots of opportunity to get on the line now and get a quick answer to your questions, so give us a call.
I'm Marshall Tate. My company's Midwest Commercial Interiors. You've heard me say the best office environments don't begin with great office furniture. They begin with great design. At Midwest, we know that great design accomplishes three things. First, it improves the functional working of your office. It enhances efficient workflow and personal productivity. It accounts for necessary personal, collaborative, and meeting spaces while integrating technology and utilizing every square foot effectively. Next, great design should look amazing, regardless of your size or budget. The aesthetic should be clean, timeless, and unique. It should help recruit and retain great talent, reflecting your company's goals, values, and success. It should impress. Lastly, great design should be value-driven. Look, expensive design solutions aren't inherently great. They're just inherently expensive. You shouldn't have to sacrifice your budget to benefit from great design. And at Midwest, you never will. It's why we say at Midwest, you'll never pay more. You'll just get more. And that's my personal commitment. Midwest Commercial Interiors. Design, furnish, and impress.
Real Salt Lake faces the Chicago Fire in the first of a four-game homestand at Rio Tinto Stadium on Saturday, May 25th, presented by Budweiser. Kick is set at 7 with Carnival Real festivities starting at 5. Don't miss the matchup as RSL tries to gain 3 points over this Eastern Conference foe. Visit RealSaltLake.com to get your tickets today.
Velasquez, Plata, Morales, and a goal! Javier Morales!
I will be the difference. Will you?
Outlet shopping is more accessible than ever just off I-15 exit 284 next to Cabela's at the new outlet at Traverse Mountain. The amazing collection of stores includes Utah's first Michael Kors outlets, La Crusade, Pro Image, Go Light, and Under Armour. Traverse Mountain has something for everyone, including outlet favorites like J. Crew, Calvin Klein, Loft, Coach, Nike, Polo Ralph Lauren, and more. Enjoy new stores from Motherhood Maternity, Oakley Vault, and Quiksilver. To satisfy your senses, dine at Johnny Rockets, or for the lighter side, Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory. Shop the Memorial Day Sidewalk Sale Friday, May 24th through Monday, May 27th. Spend $250 and receive a $10 gift card to the outlets. Redeem at customer service in the Grand Lobby. While supplies last, visit outlets at TraverseMountain.com for a complete list of stores, hours, and events. That's outlets at TraverseMountain.com. Discover your outlet at Traverse Mountain, just off I-15, exit 284. For more, visit outlets at TraverseMountain.com.
Attention! On Monday, May 27th, Dave's Bernina at 268 West Center Street in Provo and 691 East St. George Boulevard will be open from 8 a.m. until 11 a.m. only with a special Memorial Day early bird sale.
Come on in. Fantastic savings and special offers.
Deep discounts on all Bernina machines and accessories during these 3 hours.
Save a bunch of money.
Think about the creativity, pride, and accomplishment that a new Bernina sewing, embroidery, or quilting machine has to offer. Now is the time to buy with our Monday, May 27th, Memorial Day early bird sale.
One day only.
8 to 11 a.m. only.
So excited about Bernina.
Really?
Special pricing and no interest financing on certain Bernina models.
It's all about creativity.
Dave's Bernina, 268 West Center Street in Provo.
And in St. George, 691 East St. George Boulevard.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
Dave'sBernina.com.
Visit KSLNewsRadio.com today to win great prizes, like a Yellowstone getaway to Three Bear Lodge Resort, courtesy of the Montana Office of Tourism, or enter to win tickets to the Utah Shakespeare Festival, opening June 24th in Cedar City. Plus, find out more about the KSL Family Book Festival, featuring the Utah Foster Care Foundation's Chalk Art Festival, Saturday, June 15th at the Gateway. Log on today and win at KSLNewsRadio.com.
Greenest grass on the block, the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. Let's get back to the phones here. We'll have a news update coming for you with Nkoyo Iyamba in the KSL Newsroom on the half hour. Leighton Lynn is on the line there. Look at this. Lynn in Layton with a linden tree. How about that? Lynn, go ahead with your question.
Hi, okay. So our tree is probably like 15 years old, and I have one in the backyard and one in the front yard. They line our streets there. Actually, I live about a block away from JD, so he probably knows what I'm talking about. But the one in our backyard has very sparse leaves. They're very small and just kind of out on the end where all the rest of the trees are all filled in, and I'm just wondering what's wrong with it. I know our neighbors poisoned their backyard to kill their lawn and start all over, and it's close to their yard. I don't know if that affected it, and it's going to come out of it next year or...
Well, let's get you an answer, and then we want to get some dirt on JD's family.
Well, it depends on what the neighbors used as the poison. If it was a Roundup-type product, the glyphosate, you're probably safe, because as soon as it hits soil, it's inactive. Okay. If it was a soil sterilant or something a little stronger, it could have gotten into those roots.
What if there was – does a linden sprout – could there have been sprouts on the other side of the fence that maybe were affected? And
typically they won't.
Back?
They'll sucker a little bit at the base sometimes, but one thing I've noticed with the linden trees in our area is they've gotten to be about 20 years old, and they have some circling root issues, the ones I've seen. So I would dig down at the base of the tree and see if you've got any of those roots doing circles, choking the trunk.
Oh, okay.
I have seen those in the neighborhood.
Okay. All right. So do you think it could pull out of it next year, or it just depends on what we find with the roots?
It just depends on the roots. If you do find one that's circling, you can surgically cut that out, remove it.
Like it's being strangled. Okay.
Right.
And then you just slice it to sort of interrupt that stranglehold?
Anything you can do to free up that trunk.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, Lynn, we'll be calling you later for the dirt in the neighborhood. Gloria in Highland, hi.
Hi, good morning. Hey, I just had a question. We have I believe it's a silver maple, and it's the leaves. I noticed last year were getting smaller and yellower, and this year there's hardly any leaves on the tree. What's wrong? Is it dying? Or
sounds like iron.
Yeah, well, my initial response was, it's a silver maple. That's what's wrong.
Really?
Yeah, they really struggle in our area with iron chlorosis.
Okay.
And I know that they're promoted quite a bit, and I know a lot of people sell them, but they really have a hard time, especially as they mature, and they'll have the yellow leaves, and as you get more and more iron chlorosis, they'll get smaller. And I have seen it kill trees. You have a couple options, though.
Okay.
One of them is called a chainsaw.
Is it doomed, though? Is it doomed? Really?
Well, that is one option. I mean, let's be honest. You're going to fight this the rest of the life of that tree. Okay. So there is one option to go, and maybe not this year. Maybe you go to the side of it, and you plant a new tree that's not going to have that problem, a good tree. And then maybe in 2 and 3 years, as that new tree you've planted matures, then you can get rid of the silver maple.
So the silver maples don't do very well in our area. And how do I know it's a silver maple? Is it? Because it's got that really greeny leaves.
They're cut really deep.
Okay.
That's a silver, and the bark is very distinctive. How would you describe it, JD?
Peeling silver bark.
Okay.
And the other option is there are iron products out there, and you can, for the rest of the life of that tree, be putting iron down around the base of it, but it will be the rest of the life of that tree, and those iron products are a little bit expensive. That is an option, and you can do that, but you're tied to that the rest of your life.
What kind of a tree should I plant that I'm not going to have problems with?
I'll tell you a good source. My opinion is you go, because I have a hard time telling people this is a tree, because I might love it and you might not. Mm-hmm. However, there's a website called treebrowser.com. Is that right? .org? And there's a link on the KSL site as well called Tree Browser. Okay. And if you go there and type in the height you want it, you know, what anything that you would like in a tree, you type that into it, and then it'll bring up your list of options.
Yeah. The thing I describe to people, if you've seen the commercial on TV for used cars, where all the cars are going down the road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you say, okay, I want a sedan, and all of a sudden everything but the sedans disappear. And then you say, I want a red sedan, and everything but the red sedans disappear. It does that with trees.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for the call. And is it maples and clay soil that just don't get along, or is it something else in our environment that's a problem?
I mean, it's not all maples. There are some really good maples out there, but silver maple is one that really struggles. And there's a couple other maples. Japanese maples can struggle. Sugar maples, JD.
Yeah, it's not so much the clay. It's more of the lime content in our soils, the high pH.
Hmm.
And so a lot of these trees that aren't native to our area haven't adapted to those type of soils.
Gotcha. All right, Karen in Riverton, welcome in.
Hello, thank you.
You had a spinach question.
I do. I have beautiful spinach, but the underside has these little white eggs on them. And I've noticed that happens when it gets a little bit warmer. But I'm wondering, is the spinach still edible, or how can I prevent it, and can I still eat it?
Little white what?
Little white eggs underneath.
So you have chickens? Sorry.
Some other insect is laying eggs here. I would guess you just wash it off, don't you?
Yeah, if you're not seeing any damage to the spinach itself, I have no idea what that insect would be.
And it would be good to eat.
A little kind of fly that comes around and wondering if, you know, that's what's happening, laying those little eggs and...
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but yeah, just spraying them off with soapy water. And as far as eating them goes, just a little extra protein, no problem at all.
Of course, at my house, any excuse to throw it out and not eat the spinach is a good one. I'm glad you like the spinach. It's good for you, Karen.
Oh, good. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, and good luck with that. Yeah, this question comes up often. Unless you're seeing some real weird deformed thing or pussy, fluffy stuff coming out of it, usually you can just wash it off and still eat the fruit, right?
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
There you go. All right, we'll take a quick break. News is next with Nkoyo, and on the other side, who do we got? Rachel in Salt Lake City, and then we'll go to Daryl in Clearfield, Richard and Bonnie also on the line. Two other calls ringing. Thanks for listening this week on a Memorial Weekend at the KSL Greenhouse.
KSL Broadcast Group contests are open to participants 13 years of age and older that are residents of Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, and Nevada, unless otherwise specified. Employees or agents of the station, Bonneville International Corporation, other area radio stations, or any entity associated with the contest may not enter. Persons who have won in the last 90 days from a station contest or event are not eligible. Full general contest rules are available at KSL.com.
In the KSL 24-hour newsroom, I'm Nkoyo Iyamba, KSL's top local story this hour. Residents in Plymouth should know by this evening if their water is safe to drink. The Utah Health Department found E. coli in the water supply there. Mayor Hal Mason says they've been notifying residents to boil their water.
Hopefully we got everybody in town. There's always a possibility you miss somebody, but I think we pretty well covered the whole town. Everybody that was on the water system, which includes... some of the people outside the town limits.
Investigators believe the water could have been contaminated because of a water line break. KSL's top national story this hour from ABC News. A new development in the aftermath of the murder of a British soldier on the streets of London by two suspected British Islamic militants.
Abu Nusayba, a friend of one of two suspects in the murder of the British soldier here in London, was arrested by counter-terrorism police immediately following an interview with the BBC in which he alleged suspect Michael Adebolajo told him he'd rejected an offer by MI5 to join the ranks of the British Security Service.
He was explicit in that, you know, he refused to work for them.
Meanwhile, one of the so-called Angels of Mercy who comforted Lee Rigby as he lay dying has been identified as Amanda Donnelly. Her son said she acted out of maternal compassion. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
And Secretary of State John Kerry made his first official trip to Africa for the 50th anniversary of the African Union. The summit began with Ethiopia's prime minister stressing the importance of a poverty and conflict-free democratic continent. Kerry demanded then the Nigerian government to respect human rights while cracking down on Islamic extremists. Coming up on KSL News Radio, looks like it's going to be breezy over the next few days. We'll check your KSL weather forecast next. KSL News Time, 9:32.
Breaking news.
So a facility that's used to seeing one or two traumas a day all of a sudden had over 50.
On KSL News Radio.
Join the KSL Block Party on our Facebook page and win thousands of dollars in prizes. Visit Facebook.com/KSL News Radio and enter to win our Block Party giveaway. You could win a month's mortgage from Mountain America Credit Union, and we'll throw in a new barbecue, two beach cruiser bikes, and a $200 gift certificate to Daisy Maids, courtesy of RC Willie and Grow Social. Enter to win by visiting Facebook.com/KSL News Radio. But you need to hurry. The Block Party ends June 3rd.
It's the biggest Memorial Day savings sale ever at Dave Smith Motors. This year's Memorial Day savings sale is so big, it's happening right now. We couldn't wait to share these savings with you. Choose from over 1,500 Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Chevy, GMC, Buick, Cadillac, and top quality pre-owned vehicles. Every vehicle is on sale and priced at a low, low, low price. You need to go to DaveSmith.com or call 800-635-8000.
Everything online and in life. The Browsers with Jay McFarland and Amy Iverson. 1 to 3 on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller dealerships. Right now, looks like the main freeways and surface streets looking pretty good. If you see any traffic incidents that we've missed, please call us 801-575-6397. And it's going to be breezy over the next few days into Memorial Day. We're looking at highs at 85 degrees. Partly cloudy skies through the week. Monday, temperatures begin to drop, starting at 81. Tuesday, 77. And then looks like low 70s later in the week. Show support and honor those who gave all for our country. Memorial Day, 7 to 8 p.m. at Veterans Memorial Park, 1985 West, 7800 South. Visit wjordan.com for information. 71 degrees right now at 934. You get the top stories every 30 minutes, breaking news the second it happens. I'm in Koyo Iamba, KSO News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Dial now to get the help you need with your plants inside and out.
Call KSL Talk. That's 575-8255
to get KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. Nice to have you with the greenhouse for another week. Let's see, still two lines out there, although we've had a couple of other calls join the conversation, or at least get in line to join the conversation during the news. Let's go to Rachel, who's on the line in Salt Lake City. Rachel, welcome in.
Thanks. It's so nice to be here.
Nice to have you.
We have a new house that we built. We actually knocked down our old house and built a new one. And the north side of our house now has only about 8 feet of space, and the house is taller than the old one, so I'm just wondering, we have a nice little rock path down the middle, so there's probably about 3 feet on either side of the rock path. It's not going to get too much sun at any time. What can I plant there?
What do you want it to do? I mean, are you looking for a ground cover? Are you looking for a shrub?
I'm kind of looking perennials? For a ground cover, more than something that doesn't take a whole lot of work.
Well, when I think of shade and ground covers, I kind of like, with not a lot of work for me, and a lot of people don't look at it as ground cover, but I do, as a hostas. I love hostas. They love that environment. They'll get about anywhere, depending upon which hostas you're buying, anywhere from 8 inches to a foot and a half, 2 feet tall, multiple colored leaves. They grow. I mean, they'll thicken in an area over time. And then maybe, you know, for variety, throw in a couple of coral bells or something else that's going to add a little bit of color. But we'll thicken up and we'll outcompete most of the weeds.
Okay. And, yeah, that I don't want to have to deal with too many of the weeds. We do have a drip hose system, so it can be watered. But I would love it to be something that could spread out and just be lovely and lush and pretty and not...
Well, the hostas are a clump, so that clump will grow and get bigger. And... as I say, we use it at the Botanical Center, our garden in Ogden, and we will put them pretty thick in there, and then as they grow, and if they're not trampled on by photographers, then they will thicken up and outcompete most of the weeds in an area.
And will those, the front part of the side gets more sun than the back half. The back half hardly ever gets, it just won't get much sun at all.
No problem.
That's okay for either one?
Yeah. Both of those plants would do just fine, and there's others as well. But those are some of my favorites. As far as just a solid ground cover for a shady area, you know, there's sweet woodruff. What do you like, JD?
There's periwinkle or myrtle.
Okay, that's a weed.
That's a ground cover.
Yeah, okay, I'm not going to ask him anymore.
One man's weed is another one's flower.
Yeah, we had periwinkle out there before, and my husband was very happy to have it gone.
So. Okay. Yeah, I like the hosta and the good thing with coral bells is there's a lot of different colors.
Okay.
And so they give a lot of texture and color with both of those together.
Well, that sounds great. I really appreciate that because I had no clue whatsoever.
Well, and you don't ask for much. You just want lush, beautiful, no weeds, no bugs, no maintenance. I'm glad we could help.
No sun.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye. That clears a line for us. All the lines are busy now. Let's see. Daryl in Clearfield, welcome in. Nice to have you.
Hi, this is actually Daryl's wife, Janice.
All right, Janice, we'll take you. Hi.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. Is that okay?
Sure.
I dug up some of my bulbs yesterday, and I wondered if that was okay. I wasn't sure if you could dig them up this time of year. They're
no, you can't. No.
Put them back in the ground!
No problem.
Because they're getting, kind of bunched up, so... And then, can I replant them now, or do I have to wait till the fall?
That's up to you. You can replant them now. You can put them in storage and throw them in a cool, dark place, and then plant them in September if you want. Normally, that's what I will do. Is I'll just store them
in the garage, back in the garage somewhere where it's cool.
Yeah, and if that's all you have, normally garages will get really hot too. So, if that's what you're doing, in my opinion, I'd just replant them.
Yeah. Okay, also, we have a globe willow, and I wondered, there's a lot of dying branches on the top part of it, and, several other places. I wondered about those, what that means, and then also, how long do they live?
It means it's a globe willow. Go ahead, JD.
Globe willows are fairly short-lived, and the reason they die out a lot in the top is you get a lot of branches, thick growth up there. Uh-huh. And those branches will rub together and damage each other.
You've also got the willow borer. There's a lot of different things. Slime flux.
Slime flux disease, yeah. All kinds of problems.
They'll get just about anything. So not one of my favorite trees.
Okay. It used to be real pretty, but my husband kind of hacked some of the branches off. So I wondered if that was possibly why it's kind of dying out. Or
no, your husband is not at fault.
Okay. Good deal.
That's a husband speaking of another husband,
and
by
we'll
the way.
Stand behind him. Way behind him.
Really pretty. And I've seen others that have, lasted years and years and years. So I just wondered.
You haven't seen any oozing or anything coming from the trunk?
Well, the trunk is really, the bark is kind of peeling off bad in places and stuff. Not really oozing, but where the branches all come together, it's kind of deep down in there, and it gets moisture, and sometimes even mushrooms will sprout up, there if it gets too moist.
If you've got mushrooms on the trunk, there's some real issues going on structurally. It means the trunk has some probably some included bark, and you've got some rot going on. It would probably pay to have a certified arborist come out and do an evaluation of the tree.
Okay.
And the other option is to go ahead and plant another good tree beside it. And then wait 2 or 3 years when that tree dies, and then you'll have a nice tree growing.
Yeah, I hate to lose the shade.
Well, that's why I say give it, plant a new tree now, and then give it 2 or 3 years. And when that new tree comes up and starts to offer the shade, then you can cut down the globe willow.
Okay. All righty, thank you.
All right, but again, the consensus of three fathers and husbands is it's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
Okay.
Take that for what it's worth. Let's see. Richard in Mapleton, welcome in. Nice to have you.
Oh, thank you very much. We bought a home last fall, and it has some olala berries.
Okay. Olala berry.
It's a blackberry.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a cross between a
blackberry and a raspberry.
Yeah, something like that. It was developed.
European raspberry.
European.
Wow.
Anyway,
he just Googled that.
Look at Jerry go.
I've got two questions about the olala berry. The person I bought the home from said that they need shade, so he had a shade tarp over it. But I looked on the internet, and it says it prefers full sun, but it'll tolerate shade. So
yeah, no, I put it in full sun.
Do I get rid of the shade cloth?
Yep, good move.
Okay, second question. It says on the internet it needs a trellis. And I've noticed some of the vines on this are really quite long. And I found somewhere, you know, a 6-foot trellis, but then I, someplace else, it said you could put 3 wires up, but they said you have to hand weave the vines into this, so I don't think wires would work as good as a mesh. I've got a galvanized mesh that's 2-inch by 4-inch openings, and I just wondered if something like that would work for a trellis.
Okay, I'll tell you my opinion. The whole point of a trellis is to keep the canes off the ground. Use the easiest method possible to keep the canes off the ground. If that is a hog panel or whatever it is, some people will just use baling twine or PVC pipe, but the whole point...
Or shifts to keep the kids out of the house.
Hey, that's a new one. I like that one. But the whole point is just simply to keep those canes off the ground. That's it. And so whatever you use, you know, don't get too caught up in it has to be, you know, this particular type. All you're trying to do is keep the canes off the ground. That's it.
Got it. Now, I have another question, if I could. Peach borers, or the borers, I've got a nectarine, I've got several trees that had borers, and he treated them systemically last year. And I notice the trees are growing just fine. There's no damage on them. But I noticed a couple spots where there's a big lump of sap type oozing that's come out, and it's kind of crusted over, but if you squeeze it, it comes out like Vaseline.
Ugh.
So is this up in the tree?
Well, no, it's on the trunk.
Right on the trunk?
It's on a major branch.
When you say on the trunk, is it right at the soil level, or is it up 3 or 4 feet?
Well, one of them is a couple inches off the soil level, another one is up a little bit higher, and there's one that's on a branch.
Well, typically we think of, when we think of the bore, it is right at the soil level. It's very low down, never more than about a couple inches above the soil level. And we can ask Marion at the top of the hour on this, because she's also an expert on the oozing and other problems with fruit trees. But as far as that little bit of gamosis up into the tree, to be honest with you, I don't worry too much about it, because that's a healthy tree, and normally that's how a healthy tree takes care of itself. If there's a wound, if there's an invasion of an insect or disease, you know, anything like that. So if it's just a couple of spots, typically, JD, correct me, but I don't worry about it.
Okay, yeah, it's just a couple of spots, and he treated it systemically last year.
You know what he treated it with systemically?
Pardon me?
Do you know what he used systemically to treat it?
I don't know. All I know is that he wrapped a big green tape around the tree, says these were treated systemically, so don't eat the fruit.
I'm not aware of any chemical that's labeled for peach trees.
That's why you couldn't eat the fruit.
Well, it was one of them was a nectarine, one of them was a peach.
Yeah, I don't
know
what he used.
There were several that he treated, and he said he treated them systemically, and he put a tape around them, says don't eat the fruit this year.
Was this guy wearing a little turban going door to door? Or?
No.
Okay.
No. He had a very nice orchard.
All right, just checking.
So, all right, well, that helps a lot. I really appreciate the help on the olallaberries. I've never heard of them, so I'm interested.
Yeah, they're pretty good. You'll like them.
All right, thank you so much.
Rich, thanks. Good to hear from you. Paul's going to be the first one on the other side of the break, so we'll go to South Weber for that phone call. Drew in Pleasant Grove. Look at the call. Shirley, Diane, Alan, Mike. Even with that, we've got one local line waiting at KSL Talk, 801-575-8255. Another busy day. Hope you're enjoying your Memorial weekend, and thanks, as always, for letting the KSL Greenhouse be a part of that at 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
On May 23rd through the 25th in Ephraim City in beautiful San Pete County,
Scandinavian roots surround you with a genuine Scandinavian festival.
Fun, free, and unique activities for the whole family. Information at
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Featuring a Scandinavian Heritage Conference Thursday evening and Friday morning, Elder Russell M. Nelson will be the keynote Thursday speaker and will share some of his heritage in San Pete Valley and the importance of family history. Other presentations include Scandinavian Pioneer History and Art, May 23rd through the 25th in the town of Ephraim.
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Friday noon through Saturday at dusk, the festival grounds on the north side of Snow College campus will buzz with costumes, dancing, storytelling, entertainment, and
the kids will have fun with our parade and places to play, delicious foods, and beautifully costumed dancers.
Don't miss the BYU International Folk Dancers on Saturday evening. A short drive from just about anywhere in Utah.
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
On May 23rd through the 25th in Ephraim City in beautiful San Pete County,
Scandinavian roots surround you with a genuine Scandinavian festival.
Fun, free, and unique activities for the whole family. Information at
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Featuring a Scandinavian Heritage Conference Thursday evening and Friday morning, Elder Russell M. Nelson will be the keynote Thursday speaker and will share some of his heritage in San Pete Valley and the importance of family history. Other presentations include Scandinavian Pioneer History and Art, May 23rd through the 25th in the town of Ephraim.
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Friday noon through Saturday at dusk, the festival grounds on the north side of Snow College campus will buzz with costumes, dancing, storytelling, entertainment, and
the kids will have fun with our parade and places to play, delicious foods, and beautifully costumed dancers.
Don't miss the BYU International Folk Dancers on Saturday evening. A short drive from just about anywhere in Utah.
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
On May 23rd through the 25th in Ephraim City in beautiful San Pete County,
Scandinavian roots surround you with a genuine Scandinavian festival.
Fun, free, and unique activities for the whole family. Information at
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Featuring a Scandinavian Heritage Conference Thursday evening and Friday morning, Elder Russell M. Nelson will be the keynote Thursday speaker and will share some of his heritage in San Pete Valley and the importance of family history. Other presentations include Scandinavian Pioneer History and Art, May 23rd through the 25th in the town of Ephraim.
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Friday noon through Saturday at dusk, the festival grounds on the north side of Snow College campus will buzz with costumes, dancing, storytelling, entertainment, and
the kids will have fun with our parade and places to play, delicious foods, and beautifully costumed dancers.
Don't miss the BYU International Folk Dancers on Saturday evening. A short drive from just about anywhere in Utah.
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Real Salt Lake faces the Chicago Fire in the first of a four-game homestand at Rio Tinto Stadium on Saturday, May 25th, presented by Budweiser. Kick is set at 7 with Carnival Real festivities starting at 5. Don't miss the matchup as RSL tries to gain 3 points over this Eastern Conference foe. Visit RealSaltLake.com to get your tickets today.
Last guess. Plata.
I will be the difference. Will you?
Tired? Tired physically, tired mentally and emotionally? Aren't you just tired of feeling tired? Feeling like Superman or Wonder Woman would be nice, but most of us just want to get back to feeling normal. Not someone else's normal, but feeling your normal. Are you ready for a solution? If you're over 35, tired is probably tied to your aging body. It could be testosterone, thyroid, nutrition, hormone imbalance, activity, and a number of other things that simply change as you get older. Invigorate gets you back to being you. The you you want to be. Invigorate is a three-step program that will bring balance and energy back into your life. Yes, there is a science to this. It's not about killing yourself at a gym, and it isn't just about changing a diet. Call now to speak with Invigorate at 801-987-9777. That's 801-987-9777. Get back to your normal with the help from Invigorate. 801-987-9777.
Will join us after the news at the top, and we'll talk about coddling moth. So if you had questions about that, make sure you stay with us, and might be a good idea to get on the phones with us so that you can have your question answered. Let's go to Paul, who's on the line in South Weaver. Paul, welcome into the greenhouse.
Yeah, I just had one question about a type of native fir I've seen in the canyons along the Wasatch Front. I've been trying to identify it, but without knowing what it's called, it's a little hard to do internet searches on it, and I certainly haven't seen it in any of the local nurseries.
Okay.
But, it has a very white, waxy bark until it gets to about 6 to 8 inches on the trunk, and then it erupts in the more typical woody look that you'll see on a pine. And it has somewhat short, very soft needles as well. Are you familiar with anything like that?
Yeah, the native fir that's most common is the true fir is the concolor or the white fir. They have a more of a powdery blue needle. I don't know if that's the one you're seeing or if it's the Douglas fir.
It's definitely not the Douglas, that much I know.
Okay. So I would look and see Google or any of those searches for white fir and see if that's what you're looking at, because they do have a soft needle. And any if it's a true fir, any of the cones will be pointing up instead of hanging down.
Okay, and are there any nurseries that have a wider selection of those in the area of firs generally?
You're in South Weber?
Yeah. I've been to 4 or 5 around here, and I haven't seen anything like it. But
well, yeah, there's a number of nurseries there, but I'm surprised that you aren't finding some of those same firs, because the concolor is a very common fir.
Okay. All right, well, I'll just keep looking.
All right.
Thank you.
Paul, thanks. Yeah, and maybe if you go in, you know, specifically with the name or the variety, you'll have better luck finding it. Let's see. Drew, I think, was next up in Pleasant Grove. Drew, hi.
How are you doing this morning?
Doing well.
Hey, I've got a couple questions for you. The first one is I noticed when I was mowing my lawn this early this spring, that I had a bunch of holes by a rock wall that I've got that weren't there before, obviously. There's obviously some little critter in there, or has been, and there's no mounds of soil outside the holes, and it's pretty interlaced. I'd say you probably have one every maybe 6 inches for about a 10-foot diameter kind of section there. And I'm wondering, I don't see any sign of any current activity, but it wasn't there last fall, and it is there now, and I'm wondering what it might be and how I should get rid of him.
How big are these holes?
Little. Probably the size of a silver dollar.
Well, the reason I ask is because I've had that kind of, silver dollar's pretty big.
I was going to say, wow.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that might be, it may be a little smaller than that even.
I can tell you, I've seen that in my backyard from birds that were going after worms to deliver to the new...
No, these are the kind of holes, I mean, you know, I could probably shove a hose before it started, turning. I could probably shove a whole hose down there probably 4 or 5 inches before it moved, you know?
Sounds like a vole to me. That's be my guess is anything that big. To me, that's a big hole, and I'm thinking a small, you know, a pencil maybe. But
it's
that big, I'm thinking of a vole. I don't know anything else that would make a hole that big.
What's the best way to get rid of them?
Oh... Well,
trap them or ban them.
That's about all you got is to trap them or poison them are the two options that tend to work.
Okay.
And you can go down to a lot of the nurseries will have some vole traps that you can use.
Okay.
I think isn't there also a doesn't the wildlife have some traps that you can use? Maybe
for,
not.
For
maybe
voles,
not for voles.
I doubt.
No,
yeah.
They won't for voles.
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah, that's probably not an option.
But are these the traps you have to get down into the tunnels and actually put in there? Or?
I think they're both kinds.
Okay.
But and that's going to be really hard to do with a tunnel that size. I don't think they make a trap that'll go into that. They will for moles and gophers and things.
Yeah.
But
if you
I saw a thing one time where a guy up in Idaho had developed a system where they inject propane into the ground and then spark it.
I know nothing.
It is Memorial Day, and we do barbecue.
Yeah. I saw that movie. It used to be an MTV show. Yeah.
That's one question. The other thing I've got is on my spinach, and I didn't actually get my spinach in time this year, and so I've it's left over. You know, it's volunteers from last year. It's just reseeded itself here and there, and because of that, there hasn't really been enough that I've really paid any attention to harvesting or anything, but last year... And you had a lady asking about white eggs and stuff. I don't know what she's got, but I know I have leaf miners. And
yeah, that's
and,
pretty common on spinach. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, well, especially I guess when it heats up. And last year I was pretty careful to cull each of those leaves off, and I'm wondering if I should just hit this spinach with the Roundup so I can kind of interrupt the life cycle so that next year when I do it, you know,
or just pull it out.
Yeah, pull it out.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll work. And then the third question I've got is. I have never been really good at taking care of my fruit trees. And, as far as, like, spraying goes. And this year I've gone and I went and picked up a bionide fruit tree spray. But mm-hmm. They're talking having to spray these things every, like, 4 or 5 days. Is that really the case?
Depending on the chemical, typically it's between 7 and 14 days, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it has Captain Malfion Copper L. I don't know how to say that, but
Welcome to the joys of home orchards.
Well, and listen.
Have a problem, but
listen at the top of the hour. Marion Murray will be covering a lot of the fruit tree problems and kind of how to make it easier.
But if you don't like pruning and spraying, fruit orchard is probably not for you, right?
Yeah, that's tough.
There's a lot of that involved. The other thing is, real quick with voles, one of the recommendation is always a small PVC pipe. Put the bait inside the PVC to protect other pets and animals or kids in the neighborhood that they don't get their hands or mouths on it. And those voles will go in there after the bait.
In the winter.
Yeah, you can get after them that way. We'll take a break. News is next. ABC with the latest and Coyo on the other side. And then Marion Murray will join us in our final hour of this week's KSL Greenhouse.
Attention, on Monday, May 27th, Dave's Bernina at 268 West Center Street in Provo and 691 East St. George Boulevard will be open from 8 a.m. until 11 a.m. only, with a special Memorial Day early bird sale.
Come on in. Fantastic savings and special offers.
Deep discounts on all Bernina machines and accessories during these 3 hours.
Save a bunch of money.
Think about the creativity, pride, and accomplishment that a new Bernina sewing, embroidery, or quilting machine has to offer. Now is the time to buy with our Monday, May 27th, Memorial Day early bird sale.
One day only.
8 to 11 a.m. only.
So excited about Bernina.
Really?
Special price and no interest financing on certain Bernina models.
It's all about creativity.
Dave's Bernina, 268 West Center Street in Provo.
And in St. George, 691 East St. George Boulevard.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
Dave'sBernina.com.
Outlet shopping is more accessible than ever just off I-15 exit 284 next to Cabela's at the new outlet at Traverse Mountain. The amazing collection of stores includes Utah's first Michael Kors outlets, La Crusade, Pro Image, Go Light, and Under Armour. Traverse Mountain has something for everyone, including outlet favorites like J. Crew, Calvin Klein, Loft, Coach, Nike, Polo Ralph Lauren, and more. Enjoy new stores from Motherhood Maternity, Oakley Vault, and Quiksilver. To satisfy your senses, dine at Johnny Rockets, or for the lighter side, Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory. Shop the Memorial Day Sidewalk Sale Friday, May 24th through Monday, May 27th. Spend $250 and receive a $10 gift card to the outlets. Redeem at customer service in the Grand Lobby. While supplies last, visit outlets at TraverseMountain.com for a complete list of stores, hours, and events. That's outlets at TraverseMountain.com. Discover your outlet at Traverse Mountain, just off I-15, exit 284. For more, visit outlets at TraverseMountain.com.
You could feel the electricity from the thunder and the lightning. It was vibrating the building.
5 to 9 on KSL News Radio.